I just welcome everybody to this ordination of seminaries, 10 precept nuns. Today, I am just an observer, so the star who's got the microphones are the bikunis over here. We're still waiting, just have come now, Venerable Sobhita and another monk to observe this ordination of seminaries. And as you all know, that our nuns monastery in Dharamsala, it's a very beautiful monastery. It's 583 acres or 583 acres, which means that there's so much space there, we need to fill it up. So today we're filling it up with two more nuns. We've still got a long way to go to get the sort of density of bhikkhunis we need for such a large and beautiful property. But it's happening. And it's nice actually to see our sangha of both sides grow. And as many of you know, that we have the seminary ordination here today and tomorrow. For those of you who are free, it's a public holiday tomorrow. And a public holiday, I'm not sure of this, I think it's been declared because of the ordinations today and the ordination of this monk tomorrow. So on celebration of such an auspicious occasion, we have a public holiday tomorrow. So Venerable Dharakata will be ordaining as a bhikkhu tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. That'd be a Bodhinyana monastery. So we have all of the monks here, and we have all the people here. So we can maybe begin, or maybe be lighting the candles and incense, and we can just do a little Arahang Sama Sambuddha. Very good.
Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami.
Very good. And now we'll hand over to who's doing the MCing? Where's Hasapani? Oh, just coming. Very good. And just to let you know, because of the rules of the Vinaya, I cannot ordain a seminary. That has to be done by another bhikkhuni, of seniority. So today we have bhikkhuni Dharmananda, who is from Sanghamitta Arama in Melbourne. And she has come to perform the ceremony as the preceptor of the two candidates today. How many years have you been ordained now, sister? Okay, 17 years she's been ordained, 7 years as a bhikkhuni. And she stayed in Sanghamitarama in Melbourne. And so we welcome her here to perform the ceremony today. Very good. So, would you like to take over now?
Yes.
And I, for change, will be quiet.
Good. First of all, we would like, wait a moment. First of all, we invite the lay people to pay respect to the Sangha. And now the Bhikkhuni Sangha would like to pay our respects to the Bhikkhu Sangha. Once again, welcome to this special event of a seminary ordination. The first one here in Perth, conducted by the Bhikkhuni Sangha. The Samaneri ordination is also known as Papacha, and it is for our two Dhammasara Anagarikas, Upeka and Shelley. So we're very grateful for Venerable Dhammananda to accept the invitation to conduct the ordination, as Ajahn Brahm has mentioned. It is the Samaneris are being ordained by a bhikkhuni. And I also like to add that Venerable Dhammananda has been in Sri Lanka for many years, where she also did some Buddhist studies, and she's holding a PhD in Buddhist studies. So she has given us some wonderful Dhamma talks at Dhammasara, and she's also helping us with the guidance and teaching and training of the Samaneris. So we do hope that we see her on many more visits in the near future. And we also now like to remember our founding abbot, Ajahn Vayama, and also Venerable Seri, with much gratitude and respect. Both of them have sent their blessings, but are unable to attend. So I just like to mention a few things. Papacha means going forth, and it is the next step in the renunciate's life. The Buddha also mentioned that there are three auspicious occasions and places to remember and to worship. And Papacha is the first one, where one really undertakes the training in a very serious way. And as you know, the difference is that the Samaneris are from now on no longer in control of money and totally in reliance on the generosity of the lay people. The second place of worship and place to remember is where you attain Sotapanna, and the last one, where you become an Arahant. So Papacha is a very, very significant occasion and ceremony, and we rejoice with all of you who are able to come here to be partake in this wonderful ordination. And to begin the ceremony, we invite the candidates to come forward. For the last time, Upeka is paying respect to the parents and ask for forgiveness. Now the family members will offer the robe to the candidates to show their support for the ordination, and it also is a very special merit to be able to do that. Perhaps we can mention at this point that after the ordination, Samaneri or novice, they should be addressed as sister or Samaneri. Fully ordained bhikkhunis are addressed as venerables, in some countries as aya. Samaneris wear the same patchwork upper robe, Uttara Sanghang, but do not possess a Sanghati or double outer robe, as we as bhikkhunis are wearing at the moment. So now the candidates will pay respect and ask forgiveness from the preceptor.
Thank you. Yeah. dirty clothes are accepted, and this shed of job looks at this from the heat, from the cooling of environment, from the mosquitoes, from the supplies, and this job as a protection. We belong to be a child of the people again. So contemplate on the first kamatana, it is kesha loma nakha danda tacho. Again,
kesha loma nakha danda
tacho danda nakha doma kesha. That is the first kamatana of the denunciation. So it is the point very important in your life. It turns your life to different direction. You were a household person, and now you are accepted as a homeless person to join the order of denunciation. And this rope will protect you the whole life from the environment. So it's time for the Bhikkhuni, we take the candidate to put on the robe. And meantime, can you read a talk to the audience?
So now the two candidates are going out, and they will be putting on their brown robes. And for all the years that I've been a monk, the people who wear white, either in the nuns' monastery or in the monks' monastery, they're always very, very happy when they can wear the brown robes. And one reason is because white robes are so difficult to keep clean. You have to wash them almost every day. Brown robes, you can spill things on them and no one really notices. So number one, they're far more practical. And number two, obviously, they are much more of a symbol of a renunciate. And as you know, that we use the dark brown robes here in Perth for the female monks and nuns, simply because we know who's who. Sometimes that when you do shave your hair off and you do wear these loose robes, it does make you sort of androgynous. It's very hard to find out who's a monk and who's a nun. So instead of actually putting a sign on the back, you know, I am a monk, I am a nun, we actually just use different coloured robes, which makes it much easier for people to understand who's who. So in our tradition here in Perth, for a long time now, the dark brown has been for the nuns, and the lighter brown, the orange colour, has been for the monks. Although in other traditions you don't see that, but here we try and keep that separation. And what Bhikkhuni Dhammananda said is very important. About when I first read that in the teachings of the Buddha, the three places you're supposed to venerate for the rest of your life. Now, obviously, the place where you become an arahat, fully enlightened, the place where you become the soul one. But in the same level is the place where you go forth, and for the first time wear the brown robes. So where your novice ordination as a monk or a nun. And when I saw that, it was so unexpected. You realize that what this really means is this is not a small occasion. There's no mention of the Buddha here, the place where you took the full ordination as a bhikkhu or bhikkhuni. He said, no, the place where you first went forth. Because that first going forth from the home into homelessness, where you do let go, leave behind, one of the most important distinctions between the lay person and the monastic, you know, your possession and control of money. Because when you have money, you can do whatever you want, you go wherever you want, you have a freedom to express your desires and follow those desires. When you haven't got any money, it's you can't do anything. I remember many, many times I've been traveling around and got to an airport, the plane has been delayed, and I've been very hungry. You can go past all those food stalls, all those coffee shops, because I've got any money, I can't express my desires. I can smell it, I can see it, but I can't buy it. So it gives you a very serious sense of restraint when you let go of all control of money. And it makes you like a renunciate. You've given up that world, and it also means that you're totally, from that moment on, dependent upon the generosity of the lay supporters, on their kindness. And you may think it's a small thing, but when you first go forth, it's like going forth out of faith and trust that you give up your personal stash of cash. You cannot have any investments anywhere, any money in the bank, any gold bars, any slush funds in Switzerland. You can't have any of that at all. And you're totally dependent upon the kindness of your supporters. And it's a wonderful thing that wherever you go in the world, there's always many, many kind people. I do remember when we first came over here to Australia, and just beforehand, some monks from that tradition went to England. And they once asked Ajahn Chah, what would happen if no one would feed us when we go to these foreign countries? Because they don't know about monks. They don't know about these traditions. And Ajahn Chah replied, aren't there kind people in those countries? Of course there are kind people. If there are kind people, there will always be people to feed and look after you. There's a beautiful answer, because by being helpless, penniless, having no funds at all, what we're actually saying is that we are encouraging the kindness of people to look after good monks and good nuns. And have you seen that that particular tradition has worked so wonderfully over the many, many years that we have been in Western countries? And as you see, especially I've been here in Australia for 27 or almost 28 years now, and you see how well people have fed me over the 27 years, which is a symbol of people's kindness and generosity to the Sanghas here. And that's such a beautiful thing, that even in this world, in foreign countries, that spirit of generosity, of looking after renunciants, people who have truly left the world and left such concerns about finance, so that they can live this beautiful life as once lived by the Buddha. To live in simplicity, to live in the purity of their vows, and to be an example to others that a life lived which is not lived for the pursuit of money can still be a very beautiful, fulfilling and peaceful life, which is what we have in our monasteries. It gives a different way of looking at life, where other goals become far more important. And as such, it means you do have to live simply. You do have to restrain yourself. You can't always do what you want. And that just tends to lessen the power of your desires. And many, many times, especially when you're a young monk, you're just so hungry in the afternoon or evening. I was first went forth in Bangkok, not in the forest, but in the city. And so you could smell all the food, especially in the afternoon or the evening. And I don't know why it is. Even when I came here, I used to come up to, I think, the Nolamara on a weekend, or on a Sunday, we'd be driven back. And I always remember just outside of Armidale, there used to be always an ice cream van there in the afternoon. And I used to look at that and think, oh, if it was only the morning time and I could eat some ice cream. I don't know why it is, but in the morning time, like even this morning, I gave my ice cream to somebody else. When you can have it, you don't want it. But when you can't have it, then you really do want it. And that's one of the problems of being a renunciant. The food always looks more delicious to a renunciant in the afternoon when they can't eat it. But even though there was very good training for you to sort of restrict and get into control of your desires. So it wasn't anymore the fact your desires control you. It was you control your desires. So you can let go. You can actually say no. And this is what we have to do as in monastic life. And for many of you, you've come on retreats, you've stayed in monasteries, and you too have kept those eight precepts. And maybe you too have been very hungry in the evening when it gets to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock for your dinner time, and you think, oh, if I was at home, what I could be eating now. You say no to that, which is a wonderful thing to do, which just gives you an inner strength. Every time you do an act of renunciation, you say no to something, you get this incredible sense of power inside, a sense that no longer are you being pulled by the nose, by craving and by desire. You can say no to it, whatever you want. And you're actually saying no to it. You're strengthening yourself. And that's one of the meanings of renunciation. It gives you greater energy and power and a greater sense of self-esteem inside. That's the spiritual power of a renunciant. So these two people are taking this next step. They've been renouncing a lot by wearing white at Dharmasthala Nuns Monastery for the last, I don't know how many years now. And they well deserve the ordination as Samaneris. The first step, in the journey eventually towards more bhikkhunis in our world, which is a wonderful thing to see. And also, it means that much more will be expected of them, because the brown robe of a Buddha, the white robe was a robe which was a colour which was shared by the Upasakas, Upasikas, the lay community. But the brown robe was reserved especially for the monastics. And so now they become part of the monastic community. They're wearing the brown robes, which symbolizes that they are a daughter of the Buddha. We used to call it that, the sons and daughters of the Buddha, Sakyaputta and Sakyaputtiya, or Sakyadita. And those are the sons and daughters of the Buddha, which are another way of calling the monks and nuns. So now those are daughters of the Buddha, which means that much is expected of them. It's as if they've let go of one set of parents and they've got another father who's much harder to please than their ordinary mum and dad, because the Buddha was expecting the children, the monks, the nuns, to achieve the very highest in peace, in wisdom, in compassion. And this is their journey now. It's not an easy journey to be a monk in today's world, because there's so many distractions and there's so many temptations in our modern world. In the olden days, there were rules. One of our rules is not to go and see shows or movies and things. But these days, you can just get a computer, I'm told, and see any movie you want. You don't even have to go to the cinema. They're not even released yet, and some people could hack into the computer and get some of the latest release. So there's so much entertainment available for people these days. So it's even harder to renounce, but it's a wonderful thing to say, even with so much wealth, with so much comfort, with so much entertainment freely available in our modern world, there are still people who are renouncing. And especially today, you see a reasonably young girl, Upeka, and a more elderly woman with Sally, which shows that you don't have to be young to renounce. How old is Sally now, anyway? How old is your mum? Did she tell you? She's dead. My mother would never tell me. 68 she is now. So you see, 68 you can still ordain. So just because you're over 60 doesn't mean to say, oh no, I can't ordain. So it's no excuse for anybody here. So if you feel, yeah, that's a really good idea to do, let's do that. And it's a wonderful lifestyle. And even in the time of the Buddha, there was story in the commentaries of one man. He ordained, and his age, this was in the commentaries, was 120, and he became a monk at 120. He was leaving it a bit late, but nevertheless it showed that yes, it can be done. He was fit and reasonably healthy, so it could be done. So don't think that you have to be young to ordain. Any age is possible, so think about it. Because I said to someone in jest, but it's quite true, the ordination ceremonies is something like contagious about them. You see someone else doing it and you're thinking, oh, maybe me. And it's wonderful here in Perth we have the opportunity to do that. In many countries in the world there's no opportunity. But here, because of the hard work of the Sanghas, the hard work of so many people, we have one of the best Buddhist societies, I would say, almost in the world here. And Perth has got these amazing facilities, great support, and we have the opportunities to do this. So think about it. The human life is very hard to actually to gain. The birth as a human being, according to the Buddha. And to be able to come to a country and live in a life where Buddhism is still very strong, where you have these facilities, is a very, very rare opportunity. And even rarer is the opportunity to go forth as a monk or as a nun. So think about it. Look, we do have plenty of doctors, business people, plenty of engineers, plenty of school teachers, plenty of all of these. But the thing which is really lacking in today's world is monks and nuns. And I know that because, look, even though this is a relatively small Buddhist community here in Australia, still we export monks overseas. That means I have to go to many places, whether it's to Sri Lanka or Hong Kong or Singapore or Malaysia or Thailand, to teach. And I think, why am I going to those places? Those places should be coming over here to help us. It's because there's a great lack of very, very good monks and nuns in our world. So we do need more when I do go overseas. I always describe, you know, Dhammasara Monastery and Bodhinyana Monastery. I call them my two factories. Dhammasara is the nun factory, where we make nuns. And Bodhinyana factory is where we make monks. And so it's very, very good. You can see two new products coming today, straight off the production line of Dharmasara Nan's factory. And it's beautiful and inspiring to see that it's not just ordinary products, but it's products with high QC, that's high quality control. Because these two have been tested for a couple of years until they're in such a situation that they're ready to be ordained. And if you want to expect the product, they are just standing in the doorway now. The latest product from Dharmasara Nun's factory. So now we can hand over two. And they look much, much more beautiful. It's like they're two different people now. So they'll be reincarnated. And whenever I see people in brown, and this is, now I do jest a lot, but this is serious. You see two people wearing brown, and it makes me very emotional and very, very happy. People have actually gone forth here in Australia. And that's such an inspiring and beautiful thing to see. And for the parents and the family, you should be so proud that you've brought up a person with enough faith, enough goodness, enough good karma, that they've managed to do this incredibly hard thing to actually to make it and become a daughter of the Buddha, a Sakyadita. Congratulations.
Candidate can come in now. Say yes.
What are their new names now? Do you know? Are you going to announce?
Now we give the tea refill and the same for each other.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Venerable.
Yamang vadami tang vadehi.
Okhasa amaye.
Bhutang saranang gacchami.
Bhutang saranang gacchami.
Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranam gacchami. Tisarana gamana nithitam. Panatipata vesamani. Adina dana vesamani. Abrahmacharya vesamani. Musavada vesamani. Chura miraja makya pamadatana vesamani. Vikala pochana vesamani. Nachyagita vadita visuka dasana vesamani. Malaganta vilesana tarana mandana viposana dasana vesamani. Uchya sadhana maha sadhana vesamani. Chata rupa rachata patigahana vesamani. Imani dasasika padani samadhidhami.
Requesting for the defendant, Nishaya, Ahmadiyya Nishaya. The ordination finish, and now, And now we know you at the Shamaneri Upaika. And here Shamaneri Gotami.
So Upaika's new name is Upaika. Shamaneri Upaika. And Sally is no longer, but you are Shamaneri Gotami. That's a very high name, so you have to live up to it. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And now the Australian way.
The candidate can come and can sit over, yeah. The candidate come and sit, join the picture.
Are they
going to
receive their gift?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they going to receive their gift?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And much appreciation for the Bhikkhu Sangha to have attended the ceremony.
Okay. So they're going to pay respects to the Buddha, first of all. There's always a lot of bowing in Buddhist ceremonies. If in doubt, bow.
What if you walk a little bit over? You can walk a little bit bigger.
Very good. Bop tea. Is that tea? Bop. So now you're instructed to sit up here. You're going up in the world. You can sit up here. And then we're going to be giving you blessing. And of course the stages in the monastic's life here in Perth. First you see them in whites, and when we go to the monasteries they help you in the kitchen with preparing the dana, and you get to know them very well. And then they become novices, and they still help out a little bit, but not quite as much. And the next stage you see them taking the full ordination. And the next stage after that, what I think is one of the most beautiful stages, where you see them giving their first dhamma talk. So that's coming next, Upaika and Gotami. We'll get you here on a Friday night to give your first Dhamma talk. But that'll be in a few weeks, or maybe months, or maybe years. We wait to see. And so you can actually see all the different stages of growth. And only just last Tuesday we had one of our monks, Santuti, who many of you love and like. He gave his first talk at the Armadale group. So we just... come on. We have a small group just, you know, to get people to give talks, you know, to a small group. Then we sort of build it up afterwards until they get here to Nolamala Center. So it's very nice that we see more teachers coming into our world. So now we're going to do a little blessing for the new seminaries. We do. Do you know the Te Atalada chant? Or no? You don't? You do. Te Atalada Sukita Wivulha. It's wonderful, actually, the chanting which we do, that much of it is similar across all the Buddhist nations. Some is specific, so I have to find one which we all know as a blessing. So, Sabaroga. Okay?
Sabaroga vinimuto sabasantapavajito Sapaveramati gando nibuto chatuang bawa sabitio vivachantu sabarogo vinasatu mate bawa vansarayo suki diga yugo bawa apiwa Danhasi litsa nicha vuta pacharino chataro dhamma vatanti ayuvano sukhang balang.
Those last words in Pali, ayuvano sukhang balang. In the context of ordination, the ayu does not mean long life as a human being. It means long life in the robes. May you have another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years at least in the brown robes. And vanna means as you keep the beautiful precepts of first of all a samanera, then a bhikkhuni. Vanna means like beauty. And to see a samana is a very beautiful thing for people to see. Even though Samaneri Gotami, you are getting on in years now, so you're not beautiful in the normal sense, but a sense of being a samana, a disciple of the Buddha who's gone forth, that is your beauty. So may that beauty of both of you, of Samaneri Upeka and Gotami, may that grow, you become more beautiful. Hayuwana Sukha, that's a given, because the monastic life is such a happy life. So when we wish you happiness in your meditation, happiness in your progress of insight, and happiness in your sense of freedom, living the monastic life. And of course the bala, the strength. And again, as you get older, it is true, I see, now you're wearing hearing aid, you're already wearing glasses, Upeka, things are wearing out, but may your wisdom, may your mind get ever stronger and stronger and stronger with your practice of meditation and renunciation. So when we say Ayuvana Sukha Balang, that's what we mean. Long life in the brown robes. The beauty with your practice of a wonderful renunciant lifestyle. And happiness and inner mental strength. So that's what the monks and the bhikkhunis have wished you today. Well done. And now what usually happens is, having renounced the whole world, they sit here and they receive so much back, which is the law of karma. The more you give up, the more you tend to get. So would you two of you like to sit in the front here?
Yes.
Is it that true now?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. So if you'd like to sit in the front here, and because this is not just a ceremony without meaning, just for the monastics, all of you are part of this, which is why you've come here today. And this is the opportunity for you to come and just show your respect to these two very, very fine seminaries. And if you have a gift to offer them, then please offer the gift. If it's a material gift, that's fine. That will be taken back to the monastery later on, and it will be shared with everybody there, as is our custom. And if you just have the gift of a few kind words, please come and give that gift too. Just to say just how proud you are to see two more people in brown here in our monasteries in Perth. So if you'd like now to come up and make your offerings and say a few nice words. From this moment on, the ceremony is very informal. If you wish to come and speak to any one of the monks or the nuns, please do so. And hopefully that the two remaining Anigarikas will get the message, and one day soon will also take on the brown robes. So you don't have to keep watching those whites again and again and again. So this is the informal part now, just to come up and give your congratulations to the two new members of the Sangha.